In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Time to talk movies. Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by Bangor Mall Cinema 10, where they have a film for everyone in the family. Alan Adams from The Main Edge here in studio with us. Well, hello, sir.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Good. What's going on?
Oh, you know, same stuff, different day.
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was great. Yeah. No, it was great. Yesterday, especially, it was nice to roll out there in the, you know, in the 40 degree temps.
Yeah.
Balmy.
Like that.
Just out there kicking around, especially since it didn't rain nearly as much as I had been led to believe.
Nope.
So it was really nice to just sort of get out there and just, I don't know, just be outside.
Yeah.
Like it's, and I know it was kind of gray or whatever, but still, like I was, you know, I was outside and not actively uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, you know, there aren't going to be that many of those days over the next, you know, 3 months. So.
And it seemed to wash away some of that brown, slushy yuckiness.
So yeah, it was pretty gross out there.
Glad to see that go.
Yeah, nice. And today, too. Like, it was nice out today as well. So, you know, so when we settle back into the single-digit temperatures here, I'm sure it's coming.
Oh, sure.
You know, but it's like we'll have fond memories.
We will indeed. And things look pretty good for the rest of this week. So keep our fingers crossed there. You managed to see three films this weekend.
I did. It was an interesting collection of cinema as far as that goes.
Well, let's start with the one I know the least about so you can illuminate me.
Sure.
The Turning. Tell me about that.
Well, it's bad.
Okay, there. It's good to know right up front.
It's a loose adaptation of The Turn of the Screw, the Henry James novella. It is not a very good movie.
Oh.
It's the kiss of death for a horror movie in that it's boring.
Oh, dear. You can't have that.
It's very dull. And the reality is, like anyone who has read The Turn of the Screw, Henry James elicits most of his psychological thrills and chills via setting the scene, atmospheric sorts of things. And, you know, so you're already walking a delicate balance as far as like engaging an audience. It just didn't click. It was it was really unfortunate. It's an update. It's set in 1994 for reasons I don't really understand. They're very clear about the when, because we lead off with the news footage of the aftermath of Kurt Cobain's taking of his own life, which
okay.
Let me be clear. Never comes up again.
Wow.
But that was where we decided to start. But yeah, it's a young woman. Played by Mackenzie Davis, who is she's a teacher, but she's been enlisted to become a sort of private tutor slash governess for a little girl who lives on some palatial estate in, it's not clear. I don't know. Like, that's one of the many problems of this movie is you have no idea where you are at any given time. It's, you know, America. I think I'm pretty sure, although I don't know that there are a lot of estates of this nature in America, but you know, who's to say. Anyway, so she goes to this this manor, and where she meets the creepy housekeeper who is sort of the de facto sort of matriarchal figure for this little girl, because her parents have died in a tragic car accident. And then next thing you know, the older brother shows up, played by everybody's favorite young heartthrob, Finn Wolfhard.
From Stranger Things?
Yep,
okay.
Among other things.
Yeah.
He's returned from, he's been dismissed from his boarding school for shady reasons. So we have this woman in this gigantic house with a teenager and a little girl. And then creepy stuff starts to happen. But is the creepy stuff real? Or is it all in her head?
Ooh.
That's the question, Rich. That's the question that's being asked, and it's really, really hard to care about the answer. Mm. Like, really hard. Like, it's one of those movies where you get antsy, like you wiggle in your seat and you check your watch, and it's, you know, I'm loath to admit this because I prefer to consider myself a paragon of movie theater decorum. I straight up took out my phone during this movie.
Oh, yeah, boy.
And granted, no one was sitting behind me, so I wasn't disturbing anybody. But still, the fact that it came to that tells you, I think, everything you need to know about The Turning.
All right. We'll move on from there to a film number two, The Gentlemen.
Now, I liked this movie very much. And I was always probably going to like it simply because, well, the truth is, I love Guy Ritchie movies, especially this kind of Guy Ritchie movie, because it's very much in the sort of the charming scumbag vein that he excels at.
Yes.
Like, you know, he has a real gift for endowing these really questionable characters with all this wonderful charisma and really sort of bringing that forward. And so you have these people that you like almost despite yourself. And it's that kind of movie, like with all the seediness and the sort of the combination of garishness and grit that he really does so well.
And the usual Ritchie editing style.
Yep. Yeah, it's got that same sort of visual flash and everything's a little off kilter. And everybody has that sort of, you know, that hard-boiled Sorkin-esque dialogue and, you know, everything. There's a lot of violent and a lot of curse words. And, yeah, it's very much of a piece with his best work, which is nice because, you know, after nice to see him sort of get back in the saddle after, shifting gears with something like Aladdin, lest we forget, Guy Ritchie directed the live adaptation of Aladdin. Like, let's not forget that because that is a thing that absolutely happened. But yeah, so this one basically it's about a sort of a marijuana kingpin, a guy by the name of Mickey Pearson, played by Matthew McConaughey. He's an American, Oxford educated, who came up hard and rose to the top of the weed trade through any means necessary.
Hmm.
Yes, he was his poor upbringing left him willing to do things that maybe other the more posh folks might not be willing to do. And so he's built this incredible marijuana empire, but you know, he's getting older and he wants to get out. Like he and his lovely wife, to whom he is fiercely devoted, played by Michelle Dockery, they want out. And so he's established a buyer. He's got this sort of eccentric effete billionaire played by Jeremy Strong, who has agreed to take on the business for a very fair price tag, which it's like $400 million or something, but it's like basically a turnkey operation, and you would dominate the marijuana trade in the UK, so it's worth it.
Sure, who wouldn't do that?
Do you know what I mean? But it's not as easy as all that. There are a lot of folks out there who have their own ideas about how this whole situation should play out. We find out most of this via a very shady private investigator named Fletcher, played just marvelously by Hugh Grant.
Oh, yeah, nice,
like
really, nice.
with all oily with a gross goatee and like really just scummy. Where he breaks into the home of the Mickey's right hand man Ray, played by Charlie Hunnam, and basically is like, I've been enlisted by one of the tabloids to dig up dirt on your boss, and I found a lot of it. So, pay me $20 million, or this goes to the papers. And so we start to learn about the billionaire scheme. There's also an underboss to the Chinese, the Chinese gangsters in the area, a guy named Dry Eye, played by Henry Golding, and all these people basically have their own ideas about what should happen. And it all comes apart in a gloriously Guy Ritchie-esque way with tons of violence and tons of curse words and weird decisions being made hither and yon. Like it's so much fun. Like the performances are great. Like McConaughey's like sort of natural sort of laconic nature really works for this. Hunnam's wonderful. Grant is just a delightful scumbag. Like it's such a wonderful departure for him. Like he's so good here, but everybody's good. And it's the key is everyone has clearly bought in to the Guy Ritchie experience. And that's a big part of what, you know, of how his movies, everybody's got to be in or else
right,
it doesn't
right.
work because it is so stylized and it is so sort of over the top in so many interesting ways. But everybody's in like full bore. And so you just have a collection of wonderful performances. And, you know, it's a really visually interesting movie. Lots of curveballs and red herrings and the whole shebang. Like, it just, I mean, it's not Snatch, it's not Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, but you know, I mean, there's no shame in failing to clear a bar that's set that high, right. And it gets pretty close. Like it's a return to form.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I like his work a lot. And finally, I'm very excited to see this film. Lots of Oscar nominations and buzz about it. And a tip of the cap to our friend Scott and the crew at Bangor Mall Cinema 10 for bringing Parasite to town.
I was pleasant. It was a pleasant surprise to see that movie get a screen devoted to it. It's important, you know, to give like local audiences a chance to see a movie like this on the big screen. That opportunity is really important, and it's wonderful, and it speaks highly of the folks over there that they're able to make it happen. Look, real talk, Rich, this is one of the best movies I've seen in, I don't even know, like it would have easily been on my 10 best list for 2019. It's probably in the conversation for my best of the 2010s.
Wow.
Like it's just a masterpiece. It is such a brilliant piece of filmmaking, both in terms of the narrative being told, the ideas being expressed, the performances, the look of the thing, like all the pieces are there for something that is just transcendent. Like it was just an absolutely incredible cinematic experience. Bong Joon-ho is one of our greatest filmmakers, and the idea that he's just kind of finally getting some a foothold here in the States. Like it just makes it very exciting to see what's coming next, because he's just an absolutely brilliant auteur of the first degree, just a magnificent filmmaker. I'm not going to go into too much detail with regards to the plot, only because it's one that I certainly benefited from knowing relatively little going in. What I can tell you is it's basically a story of two families. There are the Kims, a sort of lower class family that's struggling to get by. It's four of them, a mother, a father, a teenage son, and a teenage daughter, living in a basement apartment together, pulling sort of low paying temp jobs to try to pay the bills. And then there's this other family, the Parks, who are incredibly wealthy. Like the father is a prominent tech company executive, whereas the mom stays at home. Her daughter, they hire private tutors for both of their kids. The whole deal. They live in this incredibly beautiful house. The former residence of a famous architect who designed it himself. Like that kind of place. And it's basically a story of how these families. Of how one family finds a way to sort of intertwine itself with the other, and the consequences that can come when the sort of web of deceit necessary to make something like that happen begins to unravel. And that's all I'm going to say.
Mm.
Just because, again, I don't want to keep anyone from having the same sort of like firsthand experience
sure.
that I did, because again, like it was just mesmerizing, both in terms of like the aesthetic, the storytelling, which we were talking about this a little bit off air. So full disclosure, Bong Joon-ho is South Korean. This is a South Korean movie. It is South Korean. The dialogue is there are subtitles, and you know what, deal with it.
Like yes,
it's
yes.
As Bong Joon-ho himself said during his Golden Globes acceptance speech, once you overcome the 1-inch barrier of subtitles, you will have an opportunity to see so many more wonderful films.
Right.
And he's not wrong. Like we kind of allow ourselves to see ourselves as a little bit of the center of the universe here in this country, particularly when it comes to the entertainment industry. And that's all well and good. Like the Hollywood machine is big and bold and does wonderful work, but the reality is there are filmmakers all over the globe making incredible work, and you can't allow something like that 1-inch barrier to prevent you from experiencing them, because like this movie speaks volumes to the people of this of this time, of this state, of this place. Like, there, you know, the sort of idea of class division and what it means to have and to have not, like, those are universal,
right?
Concepts and concepts that I think a lot of people in this area can very much relate to. And to see that play out on screen, even if it's people that don't look like you, it's, you know what? It's better that they don't look like you. You know, it's like, it is a universal experience. And to know that people everywhere in all, you know, in all places experience the same things. And granted, things get extreme in this film, and things go off the rails in a pretty intense and shocking way. But the movie is just so beautifully made, and the performances just across the board. It's, you know, this ensemble won the Best Cast SAG Award last night, I believe. And yeah, like, deservedly so, because
it sounds like the film has a pretty solid shot to maybe win Best Picture.
You know, it's funny because I wouldn't have guessed it even a couple of weeks ago. But again, I hadn't seen it yet, you know, and to see it with your own eyes and to realize that this is something that is, you know, that is in that conversation. It's pretty incredible. And I still think that, you know, consensus seems to be that 1917 is sort of the front runner now. And it's certainly the sort of movie that the Academy really likes to recognize. But here's the thing, just the fact that it wouldn't be a total upset for a movie like this to win Best Picture means we're going in the right direction, I think. And, again, you, like, anyone who appreciates good filmmaking, who appreciates visual storytelling being executed to the absolutely the highest degree, see this movie. Like, see it before, see it on the big screen if you can. Yeah.
And it's up through this week at least at the Bangor Mall
Cinemas. It is at the Bangor Mall Cinemas. And again, like, just, yeah, like, if you love movies, you got to see it.
Awesome. I can't wait. Thank you, Alan.
My pleasure.
Alan Adams of The Main Edge with movie reviews every Monday here on Pass the Popcorn on Downtown.